Everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight, right here, worldwide, on the Clear Channel, WWRB 3.185. We're also being copied tonight on your computer downloads and being simulcasted also on the World Wide Web on WWRB. So if you'd like to listen to us on shortwave, 3.185 Clear Channel, you can do so, or if you would prefer, you can download us and copy us on simulcasting, live streaming tonight, exclusively here on WWRB 3.185, and we're glad to have you aboard a brand new series tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're starting on part one of the Master Keys to the Kingdom. We're going to tell you exactly what it takes you to get from here to heaven. Now, it might surprise a lot of you on the conditions. You know, everything has got a cost. Now, the Bible speaks about selling what you have and taking up your cross daily and following the Messiah. So there is a sacrifice, and there is something that you must do. However, salvation is free. It's a gift. It's something that, it's just like he hid a treasure somewhere, and he gave you the ability to purchase you a metal detector, and we're talking about the pure gold here tonight, and this metal detector only reacts to pure gold. In other words, it wouldn't find silver, or it wouldn't find any other base metal and identify it, because you must have the master key to the kingdom, and that would be pure gold. So then, Yahweh's got the ability to give you the gift to find it. A lot of people think that the gift is something that they just go out here and grab up by signing some church card and becoming a member and whatever they are, going to the church of their choice. That's Christianity. Each church, each faith gives you a open door policy to Christ. But did Christ open the door to everyone? That's the question we're going to have tonight in the Master Keys series, beginning tonight, 1, 2, and 3, hopefully, if the Spirit will lead and guide us to go into the revelation of the Master Key. Now, the plan of salvation, when was it formulated? Some say, well, on the day of Pentecost. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I beg to differ with you just a little bit there, because you see, the master plan or the keys to the kingdom was formulated even before the creation of the material universe. 1 Peter 1:20, let me quote it. He, meaning the Messiah, was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Now, I just want to grasp that just a moment. Let your spirit material world, according to 1 Peter 1 and 20, and Peter had a deep revelation on this, much deeper than what some people seem to understand. He was foreknown. So somebody had this plan set up from the word go. Now, the question is salvation to everyone? And the answer is no. And yet, everybody thinks that it is. But you say, well, buddy, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, as it's recorded in the New Testament, shall be saved. Yes, but listen to this. How can you call upon him whom you have not heard? You say, well, I found the Lord. No. No, you didn't find the Lord. If you found anyone, it was Yahweh finding you. You see, he wasn't lost, so you didn't find him. You were lost, and he found you, providing you are his sheep. Now, if you're not his sheep, you're none of his. If you weren't known before the foundation of the world, now, you say, well, oh my heaven. Pastor, but that goes deep into the revelation of before the foundation of the world of 1 Peter chapter 1 and 20. Well, we're talking about master keys here. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a family. Now, the whole family in heaven and earth, according to Philippians, is 4:15, Ephesians 4:15. The whole family in heaven and earth is named after the Creator. They bear his name. They shall see, Deuteronomy 28:10, they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh. Now, the revised versions will say L-O-R-D in there. And everybody's got this Lord concept. And it's so deceptive because it's not identifiable. There's many Lords. And so you need to get away from the Lord complex and the Lord tradition, because Lord is something that the translators have put in there, and sometimes I think it was so deliberate and purposely to deceive the very elect. And it's not possible to deceive the elect if you were with them before the foundation of the world. Because he said, all that were ever mine. Now catch that right there. Get it good in your spirit. All. Not 99, but all 100. Now, he talked about leaving the 99 that were safe and coming out to find that lost. You see there? You didn't find him, he found you. In regards to what you think, well, I went down to the church house, glory to God. I went up to the altar and I prayed and I got saved, glory to God. You know, how'd you know you got saved? Well, I felt something in my heart. Well, I can go to the ball game and get emotional. I used to go to the UT volunteer football games back here in the 50s and when they won the national championship. I mean, man, you talk about getting excited and rah, 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 and ray, 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 and go, Vols, go. I was a gun whore. I mean, my heart would flutter. I felt something when the Big Orange took the field. You know, I was out in the woods one day, and I felt a sensation run up my spine and tingle me like I have never felt in a church. And it was all as a result of a wildcat screaming, and it really terrified me. I mean, I was terrified. Well, a lot of people go by feelings. Jacob went by feelings when he thought that Joseph had been dead. And so for 17 long years, he grieved in his heart. Because he thought or been persuaded through a lie of the brethren that his son was dead, that he fell among thieves and or wild animals or something, they killed him, and yet he felt he was dead. And see, if you go by feelings, you can get deceived. You gotta go by the word. You shall know the word, the truth. The word, the Messiah, fought the devil to a standstill on the word. Yahweh, every time Satan would quote a scripture, Yahweh would quote a scripture to counteract that scripture that Satan quoted. So, you see, you can hear the word and feel something, but if it's not a reference of truth, if you were not his from the foundation of the world, 1 Peter 1 and 20 again says, he was foreknown. This is the headship company. Now, I'm talking tonight about a headship company of mighty ones that are in the earth right now, at this moment, not waiting to kingdom come. His kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out, and thus the kingdom, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it came into man. And so the headship company of mighty ones, now there's 9 spiritual gifts, and there's 5 signs to follow that believer. And we're going to get into that on this series of the Master Keys. And we're going to tell you that you had to have your name. Now listen to me carefully. Your name. You say, well, yeah, my name's on the Lamb's book, and I know I've been saved, glory to God. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's directly opposite of what Yahweh said in his word. He says that your name was foreknown. You yourself, if you are his sheep, there are some that ain't his sheep. And I have to admit that. Everybody can't be saved. There's people that don't know the name to call upon. You've got to know that name, and you've got to have a preacher to administer it to you under the anointing of the 9 spiritual gifts, and the 5 signs will follow the believer. How can you call upon him in whom you've not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So the more word that you hear, it builds up a gestalt or a foundation underneath you, and by faith you grow, you wax bold. I mean, I know when I was filled with the Holy Spirit of truth, I waxed bold. I began to speak in a different tongue. The Bible says, you shall speak with a new tongue. Some people think it's an unknown tongue. In reality, it is, because you start speaking a language or you talk a doctrine that nobody can comprehend. It's anti-Christian, almost, because Christianity hasn't received it into their tradition. And everybody wants to be in the tradition mode of going to the church, going to the altar, and then accept Christ. And have your name put on the church book. Some of you get baptized. And then whatever you are, be a goodness, Billy Graham, crisscross the world in the heyday of his ministry. And other ministries are doing the same today. Benny Hinn, for instance. Joel Osteen. It's the preach good, feel good ministry. No doctrine. No argument. You see, and when Pastor Buddy comes along and tells you what you must do, then... it brings division. And by bringing division, it brings separation. And then when people hear this arguing, I mean, they want to feel good. They want to sit in a big cathedral, 30,000, on Sunday. And they want to feel good. They want to feel their arms tingle when the preacher comes up with some mystification and spellbounds them in some kind of a mystification, a doctrine, other than the Bible. The Bible is a separator, and it cuts to the joint and the marrow of the bone, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So then, if you're not known before the foundation, you ain't going to be known after the foundation. Now, let me repeat that. This is my point. Master keys to the kingdom. If you were not foreknown with your name on the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world, where the Messiah himself, the Lamb of the Holy One, the Messiah, the Savior, Isaiah 9 and 6, what does it say? Well, unto us a son is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, if you can't take the counsel of his word, that you had to be saved before you ever come over here. You didn't come over here to get saved. You were saved from the foundation of the world. You say, well, what do I have to do? Why do I have to get baptized? Why do I have to repent? Why do I have to live right? That's the test. That shows you it through obedience. Obedience is better than any kind of a sacrifice. And you don't have to be good to be saved. You just have to be on the Lamb's book, and then when He calls you, He didn't choose you because you was good or bad. He chose you because you was His son, and you were an heir to the kingdom, and your name's on the Lamb's book, and He said, I ain't going to lose none of you. And see, that's a different doctrine than the Christian church. Well, now you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. But they never tell you of the before the creation of the world that you belong to the Creator. Now, let's go back to Jacob for just a moment, and what's the Bible all about? Well, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that we are the fewest people. That, and Deuteronomy 28:10, as I quoted a while ago, they shall see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, not by the name of Jesus, not by the name of Jehovah, not by the name of Allah, not by any other name that is mentioned in the mouth of these false prophets, which have come and set up another name whereby that they can be saved, and they promise you liberty when they themselves are captive of their own ignorance, fear, and superstition, where that they follow after the rudiments of tradition and not after the word of Yahweh. Now, again, let me manifest the first key to the kingdom. You must have been known, foreknown now, with your name on the Lamb's book before you ever came over here, or it's lights out, or you can't enter into the kingdom, you can't have a piece of the pie, so to speak, as the Christian church promises you, a cloud and a harp and a chariot to ride around in and things of this nature, and a rapture theory. On top of that, so that you can go sailing up through the sky. Ladies and gentlemen, this is on earth, in flesh and blood, reality kingdom of Yahweh that came here. He suffered and died, rose up for you as a witness, and He said, you are my sheep, and I give my sheep eternal life. Now, when did He give it to us? Again, let's go back to 1 Peter 1:20. Before the foundation of the world. Before you ever come here. Your name was on that Lamb's book, and all He'd done was come back and check the book. And if you were there, then He's coming for you. If you were on that book, He's going to send hunters and fishermen before you, and they're going to fish for you. They're going to witness to you. Somebody's going to walk up to you one of these days, and He's going to lay the truth on you, and it's going to knock your socks literally off your feet. It's going to change you into a new creature, and you're going to be so aligned with what you know is right, not what seems right. You're going to say, where was I at all my life? Well, you were lost. And by the witness of someone, and it takes the gospel witness, how can you hear? Without the witnesses, and in the book of Isaiah, again, 43:10, you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Yahweh, and that you may know and believe me, before me there was no God, click, click, formed, and neither shall be there after me, for I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Now that's Isaiah 43:10-11. That's very plain, isn't it? That Yahweh knew you before the foundation of the world. And if you go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 34, you will find that Yahweh determined before, now remember, before the material universe, before the foundation of the world, He was foreknown, but was manifest in the last days for your sake, while the manifestation now was not given to those more or less in the Old Testament as a blood offering. In the Old Testament, the difference between the old parchment or the old covenant and the new covenant, there's really no difference because the salvation is the same. Yahweh didn't come up with a new plan in the New Testament, like some believe. He just made a new covenant. Now, do you really know what that covenant is? Would you really like to learn what that covenant is? Well, the covenant is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, and of course, nothing taken away. You know what the Hebrews 10:16 says? This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Not with the Filipinos, not with the East Africans or the West Africans, not with this people or that people. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. You see, the covenant is two for and about one people. Now, Jacob, let's go to Jacob. Jacob was the initiation beginner of that covenant. And Jacob swore to Yahweh when he moved on him, when he anointed him, when he gave him this promise of a covenant. He said, Jacob, I will make your seed, S-E-E-D, literal seed now, a literal seed. You say, well, now, buddy, now the Christian church tells me I've got to be born again. Well, that's not in the New Testament. You say, well, I can read it here in chapter 3. No, you can't. You can read what the translators put in there, that you've got to be born again. The translators didn't say that in reality. The Holy Spirit didn't say you've got to be born again. What did the Greek say? We'll get you a Greek interlinear and check it out. It would pay you to be like the Bereans of Acts 17. You know what they did when they heard Paul come preaching this strange new tongue? They were Hebrews. Paul was a Hebrew. According to Philippians 3:15, he was out of the house of Benjamin, a Hebrew. He wasn't no Jew, as some people like to give Paul the credence of being a Jew. Paul was a Hebrew. You see, well, what's the difference? Well, there's 12 tribes difference between somebody from the house of Judah. House of Judah is just one tribe. And everybody wants to classify the house of Judah and then the Gentiles, and that God is going to save the Jews, irregardless of what they do. And then he's going to save the Gentiles by something that they do. Well, that's complete false doctrine. It is not true. You cannot win salvation by merits of works based on what you do. The merits of salvation was based on what he did, and from what we can read, I know now that he came 2,000 years ago. If you believe that, I do believe that. I believe he came, suffered, and died, and was killed by the wicked ones. And if you read 8th chapter of John, you can get it to drift of who killed him. These were the people that claimed to be Jews, were not, but were out of the house of Satan. And I've told you many times how that seed that claimed to be Jewish, you see. And that's how we've got the misunderstanding by translators that didn't know how to translate the Bible. I just wish I had the power and the money to write the Bible like it's supposed to be written. You say, well, it says, well, buddy, you've got to be born again. Now, let's go back and look at that scripture. The actual wording of the Greek reference where it says born again is from above. So then let's put it in there with the proper Greek. You must be born from above. Does that agree with 1 Peter 1:20? Well, of course it does. It agrees with 1 Peter 1:20 that you were foreknown and your name was on the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world. And if your name was there, that means that Yahweh knew you, because Yahweh was known before the foundation of the world. There's no God beside him. There's none before him, and neither will there be after him. Even I am Yahweh, and I am your Savior. Well, if you read 46 Isaiah 46 and verse 6 through 8, you'll get an understanding of who this mighty one is. He's the one of the book of Ezekiel chapter 34 that came to save you. Behold, I, Yahweh said, behold, I. Behold, I will come and save you. I am the good shepherd. Well, John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. When he came, he said, I'm the good shepherd. Well, there was a people that despised his coming. They fought against his coming. They didn't want him to be the creator because he was just a common man. He ate and drank with sinners. He enjoyed a company of people that of ill repute. You see, what you highly esteem, Yahweh says is an abomination. Just because you've got on a three-piece suit and you've got a fancy ring on your finger and you've got a wallet full of plastic cards or you've got a bank full of worthless stock, and if that's the case today, that's probably what is true. But that don't make you somebody in the eyes of hell. You may be somebody in the world, but you're nothing to Yahweh unless you've got his truth. Now, you could have his truth like who was it that laid out there and the dogs even licked his sores? And he was denied the luxuries of the rich man. He laid at his gate and begged. He didn't have nothing to eat, and the dogs were the only one that had compassion upon him, and then he died. His name was Lazarus. And when the rich man died, to show you the distinction between the two, now, the rich man, while he lived, no doubt he was highly esteemed. No doubt the local people in the community thought he was somebody. And every day they passed by this old, broken-down prophet laying there, quoting scripture. Every time they come by, he'd holler out at their sins, or tell them to repent, or tell them to turn from their wicked ways. And they would, no doubt, the priest and everybody else would pass him by and get on the other side of the street. He was denied the pleasures of life. He was denied the luxuries of life. He was denied the friendship of the world. And he suffered. And then when he died, he became an instant saint, accepted in reverence in the afterworld. Come, my blessed brethren. Now, if you want the keys to the mansion, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to decide one thing. You can't get salvation at the church. They can't sell it. They can't give it away. It don't come in a package of what they offer you. They're going to offer you, all you got to do is accept Christ. Well, there's many Christ. So, would you examine the package? If somebody said, I've got eternal life in here, and it's under one of these three shells. Well, most of the people just grab up all three shells just so that they're going to be on the safe side. Well, you can't do that. Choose this day. You're going to have to make a choice, and that choice would have had to been decided before you ever came here. It has nothing to do with your existence now. If you're not Yahweh's sheep then, you're not Yahweh's sheep now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Before the foundation, you've got to have access to the covenant of the ark. And the ark was promised you before the foundation of the world. And you must be a Berean, as I said, and you must search the scriptures for wherein you think that you have eternal life. You don't have any. Make your calling sure. Make your election sure. Now, when were you elected? You say, well, that depends on my works now, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. It don't depend on your works. You're not saved by works. You're saved by something foreknown. You're saved by some kind of a blood identification to your soul. You are the Father, and he is the shepherd. And if you were his child before the foundation, would you want one of your little children to die and go to hell? Of course not. Well, would you want everything in the world to go to heaven? You say, well, yeah, I wish they would, because I want to go. You ask anybody if they want to go to hell and burn and roast and fry and sizzle, and they'll tell you no. But then they turn around, and their works are so evil. Their love is the almighty dollar. and the root of all evil is money, and they pursue money and the wealth and the pleasure, and they can't resist the world because they love it. But the Bible says, whosoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And from such, turn away. You see that old prophet Lazarus that laid up there at the gate of the rich? Probably a big subdivision. Every day somebody drive and say, I wish they'd get that scumbag. Look like a city official, pick him up and put him in jail. He's probably wearing a banner. Repent and turn to Yahweh. And they were so offended and so ashamed of him that they denied him. They didn't make friends. They would have been wise to go over and shook that old boy's hand and sit down and had a beer with him or a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, whatever, and had a little fellowship with this great prophet that sat there in the gate, that when he died, he went into Abraham's bosom and was received as one of Yahweh's anointed. Oh, my. It makes so much difference, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you examine the old covenant, there was a blood sacrifice for every sin. Every sin. A blood sacrifice offering must have been made for every sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So remember this now. There has to be some blood shed for you. Now, you say, well, the Messiah came, and I believe he came, and I've confessed it in my heart, and I believe in Jesus, glory to God, and I'm going to be saved. And the pastor gave me the right hand of fellowship, and I attend the first this and second this and whatever this, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir I sing over there, and I make melody, and I'm a good guy. There's no demand for good people. It's your salvation not based on you being good. Ladies and gentlemen, David was a soldier. He killed. He was in the business to kill. He killed tens of thousands. David's own hand. It dripped literally with blood. And so, you see, if you was to run up on a man today, he's killed over 10,000 people, and the world knew it, and they would accuse him of being a murderer, you think that they would say he's saved and he's got salvation? I don't think so. Well, what was different about David? David had his name wrote on the Lamb's book. It didn't matter how many people he killed. If he had killed 16 million, he would have still never compared to Yahweh himself, because Yahweh is one of the biggest killers in the world. He is known to have literally killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of people. Why? Because Yahweh has set the people in the earth as the potter. And you are the clay. And if he's made you a vessel fitted for destruction, who are you to reply against him because he made you that way? You don't question him. You're in his courtroom. He's the judge. He has the final word. So David was not saved because he killed all those people, but he was not saved because he didn't kill anybody. It's not based on his works. David was saved because his name was on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, and that's what saved David. It is in Psalms that we read, chapter 11, verse 7, David said, for Yahweh is righteous. He loveth righteousness, and the upright shall behold his face. Now listen to that. He loveth righteousness. Now David wasn't right because he killed somebody, for sure. Because I don't promote you go out and kill somebody to prove you got salvation. But let's say that you did never kill anybody. Don't guarantee you got any. You see what I mean? So killing somebody or not killing somebody is not based on that, because David said Yahweh loves right. He loves you because you, and David was found right, the man after Yahweh's own heart. So of course David was saved. When was he saved, Pastor Buddy? Well, according to 1 Peter 1:20, he was saved or foreknown before the foundation of the world. Yahweh knew out of the 8 sons that Jesse had that David was the man. I mean, he passed over 7 sons before he ever came to David, and Yahweh kept saying, that's not him, reject him, that's not him. You won't find hardly anything ever wrote about David's brothers. No doubt they were all jealous and envious of him. No doubt they were politically aligned against him at times. So, it doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, if Yahweh's for you, who can be against you? David was chosen from following the sheep. And David was already noted as a young boy. He done killed a lion with his bare hands and a bear. So he was a heck of a wrestler. And he could get in there with the best of them and grapple. We know that he killed the giant with a sling, and the giant had sword and armor all prepped up and ready to go, and he went straight to hell. David sent that giant straight to hell. That giant was created before the foundation of the world for the very express purpose of being there to receive the stone right out of the sling of David when he chose 5 smooth stones right out of that brook. And he used one of those stones for taking the giant down. Now, how many did that leave in his little pouch? He only had 5. Well, you say, well, that would leave 4. Well, how many names or letters is in the name of Yahweh that's got salvation? Yod Heh Vav Heh. There. See, what was left in the bag is the important thing. The stone that was used to slay Satan, it only took one stone. He didn't have to use them because David said himself, he said, now look, you come to me with a sword and a stave and a big bragging mouth. And you know, Satan is out to brag, show off, and got a big army and show his money off and his pretty car and his good looks, and he's down at the church speaking great swelling words and things of that nature to get you attention and to get you to cry when he tells a sad tale and then get you to laugh and rejoice when he tells something funny. And these orators that are down here in these pulpits today that captivate 30,000 people at a time are just spellbound by. Well, don't you know that that's part of the plan that Yahweh is using these prophets to deceive the very elect, if possible? Now, what do you mean by if possible? Well, if your name is on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, and you've been called according to His plan, and your name was on the Lamb's book written before the foundation of the world, then Yahweh said, that's my boy. You said, well, he just got through killing 100 men. That's my boy. Bring him home. I want him. Well, Yahweh, he's down there drunk. He's laying down there in Noah's tent. That's Noah down there drunk, Yahweh. You know he, and the devil no doubt came back up to Yahweh and said, you know you ain't gonna save Noah. Well, he's down there drunk as Cooter Brown's monkey. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh can sober up the drunkest man that ever walked and take him to heaven. He's saying, now the Bible says no drunk's going to enter in the kingdom, no drunkard. That's drunk on false religion, not drunk on natural stuff. It's just like I said about smoking the other day. Smoking will not send you to hell, but it might send you to heaven quicker. If you're aligned to go, it might send you there a little bit quicker. So I don't advocate smoking. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I don't chew. And as the old saying goes in the homeless church that I came out of, I don't run around with people that do. Well, you say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? Well, when people smoke, and if I'm riding in a car, I ask them to quit smoking. Because it don't offend me, because I've smoked a freight train full of cigarettes. But after you quit, you can't tolerate them. If you smoke them, as they say in the Army, if you got them, light them. If you ain't got them, bury them. And that's, and most of us was broke on military counts, so we borrowed the heck out of the people that had enough sense to keep a few cigarettes. Otherwise, you go without smoking. So smoking is not the issue here. Killing is not the issue. Drinking is not the issue. Works is not the issue. The issue is that I'm trying to get to you that if your name, irregardless of what you were, or and I expect that when you get the Holy Ghost, when you get saved, when you get sanctified, that you will be a changed person. Not because you're going to clean up and quit smoking and drinking and run around with wild, wild women or men or something of that nature. That's not what I'm talking about. You're going to have a testimony that's going to change. Your love is going to change. You're going to crawl off that bar stool and straighten up, and the next thing you do, instead of sitting there drinking shot after shot of who shot Sam, you're going to be down on the corner of passing out a hallelujah track and saying, hallelujah. Yah is my creator. And you're going to go to the church and disrupt the service. You're going to be that old town drunk that got salvation because you got called and you found a witness that brought you the reference to the scriptures that ignited your soul. And the things that you once loved, you now hate. You ain't got time to sit on a bar stool and drink Jack Daniels. You ain't got time to light up a camel and walk a mile for one. You'll walk a mile for Yahweh, and you wouldn't walk 2 yards for a camel. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It changes you completely into something that you were before the foundation of the world. And when you came in here, yes, Satan gave you a ton of cigarettes to smoke. Yes, Satan gave you a freight train full of beer. I don't know at the slits and the blue ribbons that I popped in my lifetime. Man, I used to think that was the big deal. Pabst Blue Ribbon, and when we went overseas, we could get any kind of beer. We could get the large cans for a nickel apiece, and you could drink it till it run out your nose, and we did. Because it was sold now beer is pretty expensive. You can't hardly get it for that. And cigarettes, my dear friends, has got so incredibly out of line and out of price that you could save thousands of dollars a year to quit smoking. Not only would it benefit your health, it would benefit your pocketbook. And you could have more oxygen. I used to say, Yahweh, give me a voice to praise you. And I'd get out and go to the Holiness Church, and I used to smoke back then, and I'd try to praise him, and my voice would crack and pop, because I always had a weak voice anyway, but it would crack and pop, and I'd have to go spit, or I'd have to go cigarette and give me another cigarette, and things like that. And I wanted to praise Yahweh with all of my heart. And one night, I prayed, because I couldn't sleep, and I was so convicted by smoking cigarettes that I laid down, and about sometime after midnight, I got up with an unction from the Holy Father to open up my Bible, and I opened it up to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 20th verse, and it says, smoking flax shall he not quench until he brings forth judgment to victory. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, if you want victory, quit smoking. And ladies and gentlemen, that's been over 30 years ago. I quit that very night. The last cigarette that ever went into my mouth. The last time I had to flick the Bic and to light up a camel that I would have walked a mile for, I laid them aside. Why? Because I wanted to praise Yahweh. And I knew that scripture convicted me for some reason. Now, I've read it to 1,000 other people smoke, and they just say, well, what's the big deal here? What do you get out of that? I said, can't you see? He's talking about my cigarette smoking. Well, no, not really. Anyway, what's food for one is poison to another. And what is accepted of one is rejected of another. See, that basically don't have nothing to do with salvation. I could have kept on smoking and I'm sure I'd have been dead if I'd have kept on smoking, because the Father told me I was going to. I already spit enough blood out of my throat. I'd preach every weekend. I'd preach and come home spitting up blood and wondering what was wrong. I already knew subconsciously, but I had to have that word. I had to have that infilling of that revelation. Smoking flax shall they not quench. If you want victory, then quit smoking, because judgment has come upon you. And I quit. And I quit. I put the top of I had a convertible at that time, and I raised my top, and as far as I know, if I ever put it down one more time, it was doubtful. I kept up my top, and I quit, running around with my cool beer cooler and sitting in the back seat and it full of good ice cold beer and smoking my cigarettes and running around with the broom tails. I just quit that. All of a sudden, all my family was amazed how I transformed overnight. And I was showing a brother here that lives, that came to visit me. I was showing him the little apartment that I lived in when I got this salvation that I'm speaking of tonight. I had that salvation when I was born. I just didn't know what it was. I was confused. I was mixed up. I didn't know how to find it. I didn't know how to put it together. And until a man came and showed me the two scriptures that I've quoted tonight. He showed me Isaiah 46 and verse 6 through 8. And Revelations 1:17 through 18. That's the two scriptures that got me. Put his fingers on both of them. And that got me that night. I became a new creature. The word lifted me. And I remembered. Something came to my remembrance. Remember how the Bible says, from a child you have known the scriptures? Something happened to me that night. I immediately changed. And I have been a changed creature ever since. I've had a new testimony, and I want you to know, I've enjoyed every moment of my life since then. Oh, yes, I've had many afflictions. Yes, I've had many battles. Yes, I had to fast, and I had to pray. I have wept. I have shed more tears since I got right that night than you could put in a bottle. Like David said, I could fill a bottle with my tears. I could tell you accounts after account after account how I've been mistreated and have been passed over for jobs, and just because I was considered a religious nut, I carried my Bible and my little testament, my little loving testament. It was so used to me opening up the scriptures, it would almost automatically pop open to the page. And I studied to show myself like the Bereans of Acts 17:11. They searched the scriptures daily to know that these things were true. How do you get the key to salvation, Pastor Buddy? Well, the key was handed to you before you ever came over here. You had the key. Your name's on the Lamb's book. He knew you before you ever came over here, and you are his sheep. He loveth righteousness. He upholds those to his faith that love righteousness. Now, notice this. He only upholds those that are right. Now, who are they? The ones he chose. You say, well, that ain't fair. Well, it wasn't fair to Judas. But the Bible said Judas was a devil from the very beginning. So then, the gospel wasn't for Judas. Judas was used as a tool of Yahweh. Actually, the devil plays right into Yahweh's hand. He uses, Yahweh uses the devil and the devil's people to shape in you, to hone you, to polish on you, to wear on you. And when you're getting abused, Mom, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. What is what Peter said here in the third chapter. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. There's over 50 references in the scriptures, and we're going to get into those in the New Testament. Have references that are adaptable to the old covenant of the keys to the kingdom. In other words, salvation was in the Old Testament. Did you know that there was more signs and miracles and wonders in the Old Testament than there is in the New? Did you know that men did greater feats in the Old Testament than they did in the New? Did you know that John was called one of the, well, he was actually called the greatest man that was ever born of a woman's womb. John the Immerser. John the Reveler. And so the second part of our message, we're going to get into the keys to the kingdom part two. First of all, you got to be called. Well, now wait a minute. Many are called and few are chosen. First, you've got to be chosen, not called, but called and chosen. You see what I'm talking about? Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Who's those few? The ones that's got their names on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. And if you don't have them on there, you can call, you can pray like Esau. You know what Esau done when he realized that he'd give away his birthright? The Bible said he repented, and he prayed, and he wept. That didn't do him no good. He wasn't Yahweh's child from the very beginning. Now, he's given the Esau Edomite seed a blessing. Because if you notice, they prayed for that blessing. Esau prayed for that blessing. He asked for it. And Yahweh said, well, let's see now. Let me see what I can give you here. How about all the treasures of the world? And Esau said, I'll take it. You see, the devil will sell out for the world, but the difference is Yahweh's people will give up the world to get Yahweh. And that's the difference. That's somebody that's been saved. That's somebody that loves him. That's somebody that walks through their home every day with their mind on Yahweh. So that's somebody that's on the job tirelessly. Whatever they're doing, whatever craft that they're involved with. Paul was a tent maker, but his mind was how to get to the next town to preach the next message that these unbelieving people could beat his brains out. He enjoyed it. He said, I'm not only willing to suffer, I'm ready to be offered. That was his profession after he changed. Before he changed, he was beating the brains out of the people that were calling on Yahweh. Then after he got converted, and some people say he got converted on the road to Damascus. He didn't get converted on the way to Damascus. He had to wait. He just got knocked off his high horse. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I got knocked off my high horse. Yahweh knocked me out of my 61 Ford convertible. Red Galaxy. Brand new. My first car. He knocked me out of that leather seats, white leather. Oh, man. My hair was jet black, and I'd oil it down, and I'd go ice-stepping, loaded up with beer and wild, wild women, and away we'd go and party all weekend. Well, that's what happened to me the week that I got this revelation that my brother came from Ohio, a witness came, and he gave me those two scriptures, and honest, I had grown up in a church. I had heard all kinds of sad songs and sad stories and heard a lot of inspirational preaching. Nothing ever fazed me like those two scriptures did. It opened my eyes to the most immeasurable faith that was once delivered unto a man. I knew instantly who Yahweh was right then. I knew that there was just one sitting on the throne. My mind, my conscience, everything was clarified. And that next morning, I was a changed man. I really was changed. I hunted up all my friends and neighbors. I witnessed to them that they literally got to running from me. I would literally run them down with a Bible and try to convert them. I wanted them to see what I saw. I wanted them to have what I had. But you can't give it to nobody if their names ain't on the Lamb's book. And you may pass up 1,000 people with their names on the Lamb's book thinking that they've rejected it, and you sow a seed, and maybe 20 years down the road, that seed sprout and changed them like it did me. You see, it's so marvelous how Yahweh does it. And his ways are past finding out. But if you're his child, he's going to find you. It's wonderful to volunteer and come and find him. It's wonderful for you to seek him. Because sometimes he'll hide himself like he did from me. He hid himself from me until I was slain the night that my brother left. I fell on my face, and Yahweh caught me up in a vision. And I was introduced to this heavenly being that was known in 1 Peter 1 and 20, foreknown before the foundation of the world. I got to see him. I got to meet him. I was taken into the throne room and introduced to him. Praise Yahweh. And oh, how wonderful it was. How joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was so full of it when I got up. And yet the world didn't want me back. My friends, I quit drinking. I quit smoking. I quit doing all these things that I did. Gambling. Well, I gamble all night. Cards and, you know, and if you had a big hand, it was a trip to Knoxville to the ball game or whatever I was doing for entertainment and fun, playing my guitar and going to the honky tonks and things like that. That's what I enjoyed. But I'm telling you, it was the easiest thing in the world to quit. I couldn't understand why anybody would think about wanting to do that. And before I was converted, that's all I thought about doing. How I changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I began to go to little holiness churches around the country, revivals. I preached till I was so wet, You could literally wring water out of my shirt. I would preach so hard. I'd jump the aisles. I'd pray for sick people. I had a burden in my heart. I wanted people to get well. I wanted to have this anointing. And I prayed and fasted and cried out mightily. And the more I fasted, the more I learned that it was useless to do all these things that I was doing. It had a show of will worship. Bodily exercise profits little. And I was doing a whole lot of that. And all he asked me to do. One day I got my guitar and I went to the mountain and I went to the cave and it took me a jug of water and I sat there and a song came to me. And it was in Psalms 46:10. I didn't even know the scripture was in the Bible, so help me. Be still and know that I'm God. And I wrote a song, Be Still My Blessed Brother. And when I wrote that song, I began to know the value of stillness, to watch and to pray and to be quiet and to not show yourself forward. I quit chasing people and people started chasing me. I quit pursuing people and people started pursuing me. It's the quiet nature and the demeanor. It's your confidence. And if you are like the Berean and you search the Bible and you know that you've passed from death to life, you know that you've entered into the kingdom. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to close this message out. Part one of the master keys to the kingdom. I'll be back on Wednesday night, if you will. I'll be back then at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night with part two of the master keys to the kingdom. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to get in what you've got to do. It's something that you're saved from the foundation of the world, but see, there's evidence of your saving. Something will get you to get in your automobile and drive great distances. I've had people get on airplanes and come from foreign countries just for me to give them the master key that I'm going to give you free of charge. You're going to hear it tonight. Men have traveled great distances in their automobiles here around the nation to come to me and ask me, I want the master key, buddy. Where's it at? And then I start looking into their eyes, and I start determining where their soul came from. And Yahweh begins to minister to my spirit about this particular person. Sometimes they accept it, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're hot, and sometimes they're cold. Sometimes they're lukewarm. But nevertheless, you preach Yahweh to them. You give them a chance, and then you sow the seed, and then you leave the rest of it to Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write me tonight, you can write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284. That's 37824. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. Post Office Box 2284. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to go to our website, just simply go online to www.oneyahweh.com for your benefit, for the master keys. This is what we're trying to tell you. Also, we're going to be in Passover on May the 8th. That's the second Passover, according to Numbers chapter 9. We'll be there in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, I've been saying Andrews, but it's in Murphy, North Carolina. I've been reminding my good friend, Brother Odell, to make sure that I say Murphy, North Carolina, because I'm so used to saying Andrews or Bryson City. It will be in Murphy at the old L&N Train Depot Convention Center. And if you'd like to attend, just call me at 423-626-2172, or you can call my cell phone at 1-423-259-0606 for directions and times and things of that nature. And I guess that about covers it all. I've got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is just blazed away here tonight. But I love you and I appreciate you so very much. Yahweh's richest blessings be to you, his foreknown, and let him be the shepherd of your soul. Let him come into your life and let him change you, like he's changed an old sinner like me. He'll make you a witness of Isaiah 43:10-11. He will make you, according to Deuteronomy 28:10, call by the name, and they'll be afraid of you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the people are now afraid of me. I used to have people of Jesus' name to run me down, but now the Jesus' name people are afraid of me. And you wonder why. Because every time they say hallelujah, you know exactly what they're saying. And I remind them that they're giving praise to the Creator that I glorify. You want to rest high on the mountain? Get in Yahweh. He's the rest. Learn of Him. I'll see you Wednesday night on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.